Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26, verse 22. If you need a Bible, you can raise your hand, and one of our ushers will help you get one. I think they might be running out, so please also share with your neighbor. Proverbs 26, verse 22. It's also up on the screen. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this service. Thank you for a wonderful time of worship and praying for our sister and also praying for our pastor, God. And thank you, Lord, for speaking to us through prophetic words. Lord, I pray for your encouragement over our congregation members. God, I pray for those especially that really need just that encouragement from you, and that that promise from you, that reassurance from you, Lord, that you will speak to them powerfully. And we give you this time. I humble myself before you. I pray that you will use me to speak your prophetic word for your body. I pray, God, that you would release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this place, that you would give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to us today. God, we humble ourselves before you, before your word this afternoon. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We are continuing with our series on protecting the house. As you can see, I'm still wearing the shirt, Protect This House. In this series, what we're doing is we're trying to cover a few things that can cause division within the body and addressing these issues. Last week, Pastor Sam talked about unhealthy relationships, because that's one of those things that can cause a lot of division and discord amongst the body. And this week, I have the privilege of sharing with you and speaking to you about the issue of gossip. Because gossip is one of those things that has a potential to destroy the body from the inside. So I want to begin with a question. Has anyone here ever engaged in gossip? Yeah, everybody. If your hand is not raised, you are engaging in lying right now, right? Everybody, we've all fallen to the temptation of gossip in some form or another, right? Gossip is one of those things that's everywhere. You know, we're tempted by it everywhere we look. It used to be, when I was a teenager, that you needed to go and get a magazine. I remember my female friends at school bringing magazines like 17, where you could read all about celebrity gossip, you know, who's dating who and who's breaking up with who and what's going on in the lives of these stars. Nowadays, with the internet, you can turn to any website and you will see links to celebrity gossip and politician gossip and even gossips about Christian leaders and Christian ministries. And there is something that is so enticing about gossip, right? There's something so attractive, and for whatever reason, we're drawn to gossip. If I may speak for myself, I feel like I'm drawn to gossip like a fly is drawn to light. You know, I just gravitate toward it. Last week, our staff, we were actually in Bali. We went on a staff retreat. Thank you for those of you that prayed for us. We had a great time. And because we were there with, as a family, me, my wife, and our baby, Joel, and we were the only ones that had a baby. The rest of the staff, they just came on their own. A lot of the times, myself and Joel, we would be in the room, and we would take care of Joel and feed him and try to put him to sleep while the rest of the staff would hang out outside by the pool. And one day, Mon was trying to put him to sleep. I came out of the room and I saw a few people amongst the staff kind of gathered together by the pool. And as I was approaching them, I could just overhear a few phrases. And immediately I could sense, my spider senses were heightened, and I could see that there was some kind of gossipy conversation happening, right? I could hear something about this leader and the influence and et cetera, et cetera. And what did I do as this righteous and holy pastor? Instead of walking away from this sinful pit of gossip, I jumped right in and I said, hey, what are you guys talking about? Who are you guys? Who is this person you're talking about? And I was just drawn to it. It's one of those things that's so appealing, but it's bad. It turned out they were talking about Benny Hinn, who is a big name Christian speaker, but he has a lot of controversy. There's a lot of controversy around him. And I don't really know if what they were doing was gossip or not, but what the whole point that I'm making is gossip and this kind of whispering and talking about someone in secret, there's something so appealing about that. The NIV version of this verse, it says this: the words of gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. What's a choice morsel? What's a dainty morsel? A morsel basically is a small amount of food, a mouthful, and it's choice. Right? An ESV version says it's a delicious morsel. It's something that is very decadent. Is that the word? It's like it's delicious and it's good. It's for some of you, it might be a very expensive, nice piece of chocolate, or maybe a slice of cake from Lady M over at IFC, or it could be a nice, juicy piece of steak from Morton's, right? It's just whatever it is, a choice morsel, basically speaking to this idea that it's so appealing to us. There's something so attractive to us about gossip. What is it about gossip that makes it so irresistible and tantalizing? You know, I've meditated a lot on this topic for this whole week, and here's my conclusion, and we will go into it a little bit more later, but why is gossip so irresistible and so tasty to us? It's because gossip feeds the deep cravings of our hearts. When we engage in gossip, it feeds the deep cravings of our heart. Our hunger for significance, our hunger for acceptance, and our hunger for righteousness. What I mean by righteousness is our hunger and a desire to feel justified in the way we feel towards somebody. And we'll talk more about this later, but gossip feeds these cravings, and that's why it is so delicious. That's why it goes down so easy to the innermost parts of our body. But just as choice morsels tend to be unhealthy, actually the Message version of the Bible will use the words cheap candy to refer to the choice morsels. It's unhealthy, right? It's not something, it's delicious when you eat it, but it goes into the innermost parts of the body and it stays there, right? It becomes extra weight, extra fat. It's unhealthy. Gossip, even though it's very tasty and kind of fun, satisfying to do, when we engage in it, especially within the body of Christ, it becomes something that is very unhealthy, which has the potential to destroy the body from the inside out. I want to turn to one more passage. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 28. Romans 1:28. Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, and unmerciful. See, this passage is describing what happened when humans rejected God. And God gave them over to their sinful desires. And all this wickedness and unrighteousness filled their hearts. And gossip is right up there, along with murder and strife and greed and envy. All kinds of unrighteousness and wickedness. I think in the church, maybe because this is the case for our culture, we have this attitude that gossip is just a very minor thing, that it's a very small thing, that everybody does it. Gossip is just a common thing in our culture, so what's the big deal? But here in the scriptures, what God is saying is gossip is a serious sin, that he wants us to stop it, that it's not just a small matter. In fact, to him, it's a very serious thing. It's right up there with murder and strife and greed and all these other things. Let's turn to one more passage, Proverbs 18, 21. Proverbs 18, 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. See, the scripture says death and life are in the power of the tongue. There is significant power in our tongue, in our words. It can give life to people, or it can bring death to people. There's a famous, popular phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. But this is simply not the case. This is not true. Hurtful speech, in fact, is an invisible dagger to the soul, capable of doing enormous harm to a person's mind, will, and emotions. As we talk about protecting the house, we, corporately as a body, first of all, need to repent. Right? We need to repent. We need to go before God, acknowledge to him and confess to him that we are guilty of this sin of gossip, that we have brought in gossip to this house. And then we need to make a resolve, you know, to say, God, I'm going to resist the temptation to gossip from now on. Pastor Ray Ortland, he is a pastor in the States. He's also an author. He's written a commentary on the book of Proverbs. And the Proverbs contain many, many teachings about this idea of gossip and slander. And he says this about the sin of gossip. I have never seen adultery send the whole church into meltdown. Gossip, by contrast, is often perceived as a little sin, but it destroys churches. Have you guys ever seen the movie Captain America, Civil War, the latest Captain America movie? The college group kids have seen it, I see. They know what I'm talking about. Captain America, Civil War, if you haven't seen it, I mean, it's a good movie. I just saw it again on the flight back from Bali to Hong Kong. And the whole master plan of the main villain of the film is that he wants to start a war within the Avengers. He wants to start the civil war. He wants to divide up the group. And he has this line. He says, I know that I am not strong enough to take down the Avengers myself. But if I can just get them to start destroying each other, then the whole empire will crumble on its own, right? And just as Jesus says in Mark 3, 24 to 25, if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. He is talking about the demonic kingdom, but the principle remains the same for us as a church. A church that is divided against itself will not be able to stand. Gossip has the potential to divide the church from within. I want to take a pause here, and I want everybody to look to the neighbor and say, hey, good looking. Go ahead. Good looking. This message is for me. You point to yourself. Yeah, this message is for me. It's not for the other person that you're thinking about right now, right? It's not for that other person in the church that gossips all the time that you're frustrated about. This message is for you. Amen? Whenever we talk about these kinds of things in the church, it's very easy for us to point to somebody else and you think, man, that person needs to hear this message. Man, this person is such a gossiper. Man, why isn't she here today? I better send her the link to this message. And we think about these things. We think that way, but I want you to know that I'm preaching this message to you. I'm not preaching this message to the person that you're thinking about in the church that you think gossips a lot. I'm preaching this message to you, and I'm preaching this message to myself. And I wanted to actually start off the message like an AA session and say, hi, my name is Nate, and I gossip. Yeah, because that is, it's the case, it's true. And I think it's true for all of us that it's so easy for us to fall into the trap of gossiping against one another. And God's word for us today is to repent and to not do this anymore. Amen. So as I continue on with the message, I have divided it into three sections. I'm going to first try to define what gossip is so that we have a clearer understanding of what it is. And number two, I want to talk about why is it so bad? Why is gossip, what is it about gossip that is so damaging and so ugly? And number three, what's the remedy? You know, what's a potential remedy for us going forward? Okay, so the first section, definition of gossip. If you and I were to discuss over a coffee or something, what is gossip and what is not gossip, and try to define what gossip is, even just now, maybe 30 minutes ago, I was sitting down with Pastor Kenny, and we were imagining scenarios, and we were like, is this gossip? Is this not gossip? It's difficult. It's difficult to define it, and it's difficult to categorize it. I had Grace, one of our friends in Cambodia, she's a missionary. We had her over for dinner a few weeks ago, and I was letting her know and my wife know that I would be preaching on gossip in a few weeks, and we began to discuss real life situations as well as hypothetical situations to try and figure out, well, is this gossip? How about this situation and that situation? And it was hard. It was hard to come to a consensus. And since then, I have meditated a lot, thought about it a lot, and I have done some research. I read a bunch of articles. I actually even bought a book on Kindle on gossip so I could have a better understanding of it. And so I've come up with this definition, which I hope will help you maybe understand or define gossip a little bit better. So if we can just have it up on the screen, please. Gossip is having a conversation about someone behind his or her back out of a self-seeking heart. Okay, so you can keep it up there. Having a conversation, as in you're not, it's not just saying it. You're not gossiping only if you are saying something, but you could be a passive participant of that conversation, but you're still engaging in gossip. You're having a conversation about someone behind his or her back out of a self-seeking heart. And I think it's this idea of self-seeking heart that is what makes it gossip, when it's done out of a self-seeking heart. Just because you are talking about someone behind his or her back doesn't necessarily mean that it's bad. I mean, we do this all the time. Donald and Eunice, I don't know if you know them, but they got engaged maybe about a month ago or so. And, you know, after they got engaged, I know we can give them a clap. Some of you may not even know that they got engaged. So, yay. Right after they got engaged, I'm sure many people talked about them behind their back. You know, like, did you guys hear Donald and Eunice are engaged? And they probably talked about how much work Donald put in to make this day a very special day for her, and how wonderful the evening celebration was, and how beautiful the ring is. And they're talking about him behind their back, but it's not done from a bad heart. What it's done with actually a very joyful, celebratory, and rejoicing heart, and that's okay. All right, it's when it's done out of a self-seeking heart. My wife, while we were in Bali, we were in Bali for about a week, and if you guys know Pastor Andrew and Cora, they recently gave birth to a boy named Jared about 5 weeks ago. And so when Pastor Andrew was with us for a whole week, he apparently, I mean, I was completely oblivious to it, but some of our sisters picked up on it, that he was actually going through a little bit of a hard time because he was really missing his family. And he was really missing his boy and wanting to be with him because, you know, one whole week of not seeing him. So my wife, out of a very loving and concerned heart, she decided to text Cora, Pastor Andrew's wife, to say, "Hey, just want to let you know, don't tell Andrew that I'm telling you this, you know, but I want to let you know that Andrew is actually, you know, going through a bit of a hard time because he really misses you guys and he's thinking about you." And I mean, she was doing it out of a good heart just to, you know, bless her and just to let her know what the situation was. And so she sends this message to Cora, and after a few moments, she gets a text message back, but it's from Pastor Andrew, and he says, "Ha ha." And so what had happened was Monica, in her complete tiredness as a mother, she wrote this message and sent it to Pastor Andrew and not Cora. So Cora never even got the message. But see, it's a funny situation. But this is not gossip. I mean, she was talking behind Pastor Andrew's back to somebody else, but this was done with a good heart. She was trying to do a good thing out of genuine concern and care for, you know, for them as a family. Last week, Pastor Sam talked about a man who came to Solomon's porch only to pick up girls, right? And somebody had to go behind his back to tell Pastor Sam about it. And Pastor Sam had to go behind his back to tell the brothers about it, to stand as bodyguards. But this was done with a sincere heart to protect the church and to make the church a safe place for our sisters. And that wouldn't be considered gossip. I think sometimes there are certain situations where you just need the advice of somebody, but your heart is genuine and you sincerely want to do the right thing and you want to make reconciliation, or you want to help somebody be restored and be healed, and you need the advice or the you need the advice or help of somebody else, and you might do that. And that wouldn't be gossip, but you must check your heart. You must be very careful in asking yourself, am I trying to meet a selfish need through this conversation? Am I trying to selfishly feed the cravings of my broken heart by having this conversation, by talking about this person with this other person in secret? As I was thinking and meditating upon this topic of gossip, I came up with two different types of gossipers, two different types of gossips. And so I just want to share it with you, just so that we can have a clearer understanding of what gossip is. We can have that up there. Two types of gossip. Number one is the meddling gossip. Meddling, you're meddling in other people's business. You're a busybody. You know, just getting involved in people's lives where you don't even have to be a part of that. There's no reason for you to talk about this person and their struggles and what is going on in their lives, who this person's dating and what kind of things that he or she is doing, but you're just meddling in other people's business. Paul will address that in both 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and 1 Timothy chapter 5, and he says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 13 regarding the young widows, he says, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also busybodies who talk nonsense, saying things they ought not to. Right? They're saying things that they shouldn't really be saying to other people. They're gathering information and spreading that information. I just have a video. It's kind of a funny video. Pastor Kenny, when he heard my message in the first service, kind of suggested that maybe we could show this video because it gives a very good example of this kind of gossiping. So if you can turn to the screens, please.
There you go. Julie, Eunice, and I are so glad you could join our prayer group. Lord knows we need prayer now more than ever.
Amen, sister. Barbara and I just love to lift the needs of others up in prayer.
Well, I appreciate your invitation.
Well, enough of this chitter-chatter. We got to get this show on the road. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but the Hendersons are in real need of prayer. Tom Henderson lost his job.
Did you see Tom Jr.'s haircut the other day? He had the worst haircut. He looked like a porcupine on Red Bull.
I hear Tom Sr. spends all day on the computer, looking at the internet, watching videos on the YouTube.
That's probably why he got fired.
Oh, no. His boss caught him on the surveillance camera playing Texas Hold'em.
Hold them accountable, I say. I mean, it's one thing for housewives like us to have hobbies, but he is a man of the church. He has a family. He should know better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would like to lift up Verna Carlson.
Oh,
she has not been feeling very well.
What's wrong with her?
Well, I heard it was her weight, 5 pounds in 1 week.
More like 15. Someone needs to tell her that eating ice cream will not save her demonic children.
Oh, don't we know it? That little Jeffrey almost ruined the service the other day, singing at the top of his lungs for all the world to hear.
So wrong.
I have a prayer request. The Whitmans are going back to Peru for a month to build houses.
Oh, they work so hard over there in that poor country. That's a good prayer request.
They're such a nice couple. And her apple pie was the hit of the bake sale.
Oh, yeah, but what about that V-neck sweater? I mean, if it had been any lower, well, I just didn't think that it was becoming.
I noticed that, too. I didn't want to say anything.
And let's not forget the dress that she wore last Easter.
I have another prayer request for us, because we're just sitting here gossiping, and I was thinking that, you know, we shouldn't be tearing down our brothers and sisters. We should be edifying them and lifting them up. And I thought her sweater looked very nice on her, and that Easter dress was an heirloom that her grandmother made. And Tom, he didn't get fired. He quit his job so he could start a design company. And Verna has a glandular problem. And I was just thinking that Romans 1:29 says that gossip is the same as murder.
Murder?
So, we should probably pray for ourselves.
Well, I guess you're right.
We should know better.
Yes, we should.
No, I do it too. I mean, last week at the picnic, I told everybody that Betty's son was going to jail, and I found out he's going to Yale.
Well, I don't know what happened to us.
You know who's really bad at gossip?
Who?
Thank you, Pastor Kenny, for that video. Just a funny kind of gossip, but they're meddling in other people's business. You know, we call them the prayer request gossiper, right? They share gossip cloaked in piety and say, I have a prayer request about this person. And they're just getting involved in people's business, spreading private information that they have no business doing. The second type of gossip is a more serious kind, and I'm calling it the malicious gossip. There's the meddling gossip, and there's the malicious gossip. The malicious gossip is the one where it's more slanderous, right? It's more backstabbing, complaining and grumbling about a person behind his back, condemning a person behind his back, unveiling their failures and sins behind his back. And James 4:11 tells us, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Both types of gossip satisfy a selfish craving of our hearts. The meddling kind, where you're getting involved in other people's business, spreading private information, the craving that this one satisfies is the craving to feel significant and to feel accepted, right? We, all of us, have a deep desire to feel significant and important, but when you engage in gossip, and when you meddle in other people's business, you're getting that sense of significance through something unhealthy. You know, just the feeling of knowing things that other people don't know. You know, you are meeting that desire for acceptance by gossiping and trying to become a part of something exclusive. You know, the circle of trust and you're huddled together and in a hushed voice say, hey, don't tell anybody else, but this is what's happening. And you get that sense of satisfaction, that significance and importance, your belonging to an inner circle. Selfish craving, self-centered, self-seeking craving of our heart. Second kind of gossip, malicious gossip, when you're condemning someone, complaining about someone, and unveiling their secrets. Few things that it satisfies, but one, it satisfies that craving of our desire for revenge. Right? Let's say a person really hurt you, a person really annoyed you, a person really did something that made you feel upset. Instead of going to that person, you turn to somebody else and you share all about the things that happened. And especially if the person you're sharing that with affirms what you're sharing, man, doesn't it feel good? Right? Doesn't it satisfy that longing for revenge? You know, it satisfies your anger a little bit because you feel justified in how you feel about that person. You feel justified in your anger, in your desire for revenge. It feeds our self-righteousness. You know, talking about the failures of other people. Even famous Christian leaders that we have no knowledge about. Benny Hinn. And we sit here and we talk about this and that and we feel like, man, I am so much better. I am more righteous. I am superior than the people that I'm gossiping about. And we have this attitude of pride and self-righteousness. And it feeds that kind of self-seeking heart. Both types of gossip have no genuine or real concern for the other person to be healed and restored. It is purely self-seeking. You're deriving pleasure from sharing someone else's struggle and failures. Psalm 139, verse 23, King David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." This is something that we need to be praying for ourselves too, that God would reveal to us what is going on in our hearts, that he would reveal to us the motives of our hearts, that we may catch ourselves before engaging in gossip. Here's a good question to ask yourself when you find yourself in a situation where you're about to gossip or you feel like it's gossip. Ask yourself, is there a sense of enjoyment and satisfaction that comes from sharing this information, from sharing this particular story? Are you deriving pleasure from it? Then it's probably gossip, right? Because it tastes good. It's a choice morsel that you are partaking of. A genuine and sincere heart for reconciliation or restoration is not going to be accompanied by this kind of selfish pleasure, right? If anything, you would have a broken heart, right? Feeling hurt for the other person and mourning with the people that are hurting and broken, it would not be this selfish kind of pleasure. So I just want to just share a little tip with you. You know, let's say, for example, that you come across certain information about a certain member of the church, and it is big. You know, let's say it's a house church leader, and he has done something that is just bad, right? It's going to be, it's big news. And you come across this information, and let me tell you a secret. You don't have to share that with anybody else, yeah? You come across that information, doesn't mean you have to share that with anyone else in the church. You just keep it to yourself, right? You just bring that before God, and you say, Lord, restore this person. Lord, bless this person. I mean, what a paradigm shift for us to say, man, I have this big information, this crazy news. But it's not news if you don't share it with anyone, right? It's just something for you to pray about and to go to God. And if God leads you, then you go to that person directly to confront him or her. And the last resort would be for you to maybe bring it up to a leader. You know, if you really can't hold it in and you can't bring it before that person, you might go to one person, someone that you trust, to seek counsel and guidance so that you can figure it out together. But Yeah, just don't share it. Don't share it. Whatever, you see somebody, you're walking down Soho and you see a house church leader that is getting drunk, you don't have to share that with anybody else. That can be buried in your own heart, just between you and the Lord, praying for that person. You don't have to say, hey, you know what happened last week? You know what happened yesterday? You know, you don't have to do any of that. So please don't. The scripture speaks to both kinds of gossips, but malicious gossip is addressed in a much more serious tone. The meddling kind of gossip, Paul basically says, man, don't do it. I encourage you not to engage in this kind of thing because it's just stupid. It's nonsense. But with this malicious kind of gossip, the scripture actually says this in Psalm 101, verse 5. It says, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. That's scary. God says, whoever secretly slanders a neighbor, I'm going to destroy that person. Right? He says, a haughty look and an arrogant heart I will not endure. That's a very serious matter that God is bringing up here. So the second section, why is gossip so bad? I want to talk about the malicious kind of gossip. The meddling gossip is not good because you are satisfying the cravings of your heart with something unhealthy. Okay? So we want to avoid that. But malicious gossip, I want to talk about why is it so ugly and so nasty and so bad. I have 3 points. Number one, you can look to the screen. Gossip was part of Satan's original temptation. You are patterning your speech after the devil when you engage in gossip. Go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Genesis 3, verse 1 through 5. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And I read this many times. I never considered that what Satan was doing was gossiping about God, but it makes a lot of sense to read it that way, right? Satan is pulling Eve aside. He's saying, hey, Eve, hey, is this really what happened? Does God really say so and so and so? And then Eve answers him. And you know what the devil is saying? He's saying, hey, you know what he's doing, right? You know what God is doing. He's holding something back from you. Right? He doesn't want you to have your eyes open. He doesn't want you to be like himself. And he's holding something back from you. He's gossiping. He's accusing the Lord in his gossip with Eve. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, the devil is called the accuser of the brethren. He is the accuser. And here in this passage, the devil is accusing God of being untrustworthy and of not being good. And in this present age, he is busy accusing the brothers and sisters within the body. He's looking at that person and saying, how can you, you know, he accuses us in our own heart all the time, right? How can you call yourself a Christian and do this? How can you call yourself a Christian and be struggling with this? How can you call yourself a Christian and engaging in these kinds of things? And he's accusing us all the time, but don't you see that you are agreeing with the devil when you accuse another brother or sister through gossip? Right? You are joining in the work of the devil when you accuse another brother or sister through gossip. You are patterning your speech after the devil. That's why it's so bad. That's why it's so ugly and so nasty when we engage in gossip. Number two, gossip is the exact opposite of how God deals with us in our foolishness. You act like the ungrateful servant when you engage in gossip. Isaiah 43, verse 25. Let's turn there. Isaiah 43, verse 25. I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. God says, I will not remember your sins. Can you imagine what it would be like if God gossiped? Right? If the omniscient being that knows every single thought that you have, every single sin that you have ever committed, he knows everything that is going on in your heart. What if he chose to gossip and he decided to reveal all the things that are going on in Manson's heart? Right? We have Servant of the Month every last Sunday of the month. What if every third Sunday of the month we decided to have a Gossip of the Month? And God chose, sovereignly chose one person from the church, and his picture would come up on the screens, and a list of things that he or she has done and thought about that is nasty, that is a failure. That's a horrifying thought, right? If God chose to gossip about what we have done and what we have said and what we have thought about, that would be scary. But what does God do instead of gossiping? He says, I will remember your sins no more. Psalm 103, verse 12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. He removes our sins from us. You guys know the parable of the ungrateful servant in Matthew 18. Jesus talks about, he gives a story of this servant that owed his master a huge sum of money, and there's no way he can repay the master. And so the master says, hey, I forgive you. I am going to take away that debt from you. Don't worry about it. And the servant is so grateful, so happy, and he goes home. And then his friend comes to him and says, hey, his friend who owes him a small amount of money comes to him and says, I'm so sorry, I won't be able to repay my debt. And this servant that just got his huge debt pardoned from his master gets so angry, and he says, no way I'm going to let you go for free. You know, you better sell me everything that you have. You know, give me everything that you have, and if that's not enough, you're going to have to serve me. And the friends that see what's going on just can't stand it. So they actually let the master know, and the master comes to the ungrateful servant and says, what's wrong with you? Right? You've been forgiven this huge sum of money, and you are unwilling to extend the same kind of graciousness and generosity and forgiveness. Let's translate that to gossip. We have been forgiven from all of our sins, all of our foolishness. God says, I will remember your transgressions no more. But can we not extend that same kind of grace to other people? Let's just be honest. The people that we complain about, the people that we grumble about, the people that we slander behind their backs, why do we do it? Because we feel like they are annoying. We feel like they are frustrating. We feel like they are flaky, and they've hurt us, and they've disappointed us, and they've done these things. But let's be honest. Are we not just as flaky? Are we not just as annoying and just as sinful, just as disappointing to God? Are we not just as bad as the person that you are grumbling about behind their backs? You are. Yeah, let me make that clear. You are. We are. You and I are just as bad as the people that we gossip about. Just as annoying, just as flaky, just as unreliable, just as disappointing to God, right? How many times have you said to God, God, I will do this thing, and you flaked on him. I commit to do, and you flaked on him. Countless times. And God continues to extend his grace, his mercy, his love, his acceptance, and we receive all of that, and in turn, what are we going to do? Are we going to gossip about somebody else, you know? Or are we going to extend the same kind of grace? Shouldn't we be patterning our speech after God, not the devil? The last point on why it's so nasty and so bad. Gossip hurts the heart of a loving Heavenly Father. Gossip hurts the heart of a loving Heavenly Father. This is not so much a scriptural text, but a revelation I had upon meditating upon this topic. Have you ever heard someone gossip about a friend of yours or a family member? Doesn't it make you upset, right? You, when you have a good friend and you overhear other people talking about your friend and they're gossiping, they're slandering, they're saying all these negative things, don't you get really upset? If you're a father or a mother here and you had a child and the child went to school and your child's friends, you overhear them gossiping and making fun of your child, wouldn't you feel so hurt and so upset and so just frustrated? You know, you would want to come to the defense of your child. That's exactly what we're doing when we're gossiping within the body of Christ against another brother, against another sister. When we get together, when we huddle ourselves and in a hushed voice we say, man, can you believe this person? He did this again. She did this again, and what's wrong with him? What's wrong with her? And we gossip and we grumble and we complain and we slander and we condemn. And brothers and sisters, the Father always hears what you're saying, right? Every single word that comes out of your mouth, the Father hears what you're saying. And he's sitting there going, man, this is my loving child that you're talking about, right? This is someone that I deeply care about, and you are slandering him and condemning him and putting him down. So, gossip hurts the heart of a loving Heavenly Father. That's why it's so nasty, it's so ugly. What's the remedy? Last section, we're almost done. What's the remedy? Number one, repent. We need to repent for our gossip. We need to acknowledge God genuinely and humbly, confess to him, God, we gossip all the time and we are in need of your forgiveness. We're sorry for what we have done, lest God comes with his destruction. Psalm 101 verse 5, I already read that to you. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. No one who has a haughty look and an arrogant heart will I endure. Gossip is a serious sin in God's eyes. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you about that. Let the Holy Spirit convict your heart of your gossip and let him draw you into repentance. Yeah? Don't resist the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Don't try to justify yourself. Just say, God, I'm so sorry. I'm weak and I have messed up, and help me not to do it again. So we need to first repent individually and as a body. Second, what's the remedy? I'm trying to go with the letter R, by the way, if you didn't catch it. The remedy is to repent. And secondly, it's to remember. We need to remember the gospel. We need to remember who we were before Christ met us. And we need to remember the mercies of God. Yeah, we need to remember his mercies, his grace, his love. Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. Let me just read it to you. I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. We lived among the sinners, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. We need to remember the gospel. When we remember the gospel, you're going to deal with that craving for significance, that need, that desire you have to feel significant, to feel accepted, to feel like you belong. Instead of turning to gossip, something that is unhealthy, cheap candy, we need to turn to the gospel and remember, man, I am loved by God, right? Even when I was dead in my transgressions, deserving of wrath, God, because of his great love for us, in his mercy, he came and he made us alive with Christ. He forgave us our sins, right? We can know that we are significant because our Father in heaven sees us as significant, significant enough to come down and die for us on the cross so that we can be alive with him again. we can know that desire for significance and acceptance and belonging can be met in Him because we know of His love. And when we remember the gospel, He will deal with your pride and self-righteousness. That whole idea of your desire to condemn somebody else and to put somebody else to shame, you will be humbled. When we remember the gospel and where we come from, how sinful we were, how we are just as bad as them, and yet God forgave us and He met with us, then we are humbled and we don't operate out of that pride and self-righteousness again. So I have a very simple phrase to capture what I have been talking about in this point. Please look to the screens. Don't gossip, gospel. Amen? Thank you. Thank you. Don't gossip, gospel. I know it makes no sense, but it's catchy enough. I think you can remember this. Don't gossip, gospel. When you are tempted to gossip, when you have this urge and you want to have that conversation in secret and share this juicy piece of gossip with somebody else, remember the gospel and say, man, who am I? You know, who am I to condemn somebody behind his back? Who am I to judge somebody behind his back when I have been just as bad and God showed me perfect mercy and grace, perfect love and forgiveness, and I am the recipient of God's grace and mercy? How can I not extend the same kind of grace and forgiveness to this person? So don't gossip, gospel. Last point, remedy. Pursue what is right. I couldn't figure out an R word, but I added an R. Pursue what is right. Okay? Meaning, instead of simply resisting the temptation of gossip and trying to avoid gossip, I want us to pursue that which is good, that which is right. Let's turn to Ephesians 4, 29 through 30. If you can underline, this is such a great verse for us to know as a church. Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Right, this is God's desire for us as a body. This should be our goal. Right? The question we should be asking is, how far can I go in my sharing and not let it become gossip? But the question we should be asking is, how can I be as edifying as I can be? How can I be as loving as I can be to this person, you know, that I'm struggling with or that I'm angry at or whatever? How can I be as gracious to this person as I can be? How can I make my speech edifying and gracious and kind and tender-hearted and forgiving to this other person that I might be struggling with at church? Okay, so I think if we made that our goal, it'll be so easy, right? I mean, if gossip is here and if this is, you know, pursuing what is right and good, if we made this our goal and we pursued that, we would be so far removed from gossip that it'll be easy to stay away from gossip. Okay, let's turn to one more passage. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up in this time and just get set up. Let's turn to Psalm 19, verse 14. Psalm 19:14. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. May these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This has to be our prayer. You know, this has to be our goal as a church. If this is our goal as a church, then protecting this house against gossip will be easy, right? If our goal and our pursuit is to make sure that every word that comes out of our mouth and every thought that we entertain in our mind is pleasing to God, it'll be easy to avoid gossiping, to avoid speech that is hurtful and damaging to the body. So I'm going to ask Jung and the team to lead us in this song. You can just listen, you can sing along if you want to, but let's just meditate and let's give room for the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And then I'll lead us through just a prayer of repentance together.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, pleasing to you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my God. You're my rock and my redeemer. You're the reason that I sing. I desire to be a blessing in your eyes. And every hour, every moment, Lord, I want to be your servant. I desire to be a blessing in your eyes.
Hey, let's go before God. Let's just close our eyes. And let's first remember His great mercy for us. Let's first remember His grace and His love toward us. And then let's just repent. You know, let's humble ourselves before Him and say, God, I'm so sorry for not extending the same kind of grace and love that you've shown me. I'm so sorry for not extending this kind of mercy and generosity that you have shown to me. And I just want to ask you, every single one of us, to take this personally. You know, don't think about another person that needs to be repenting. Don't think about the person that has gossiped against you, and you feel like, man, this person needs to be repenting to me. And that might be the case, but at this time, I want to ask you to humble yourself before God and recognize that you are just as bad. You are just as bad as that person, just as much in need of God's forgiveness, just as much in need of repentance and humility before God. So let's just go before Him. Let's repent. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would bring to mind specific times where we have gossiped, Lord, and that we would be able to repent and confess of these things to you. So Jung's going to just sing over us. As he sings over us, let's just pray. Let's go before God on our own and have a time of repentance before Him.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, pleasing to you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my God. And you're my rock and my redeemer. You're the reason that I sing. And I desire to be a blessing in your eyes. Every hour, every moment, Lord, I want to be your servant. And I
Yeah, I think why this is such a big topic for us is because I think God wants us to experience the beauty and the glory and just the pleasantness of unity in the body of Christ. And it's such a beautiful thing, such a precious thing. But gossip is one of those things that can so easily kill that, so easily destroy that. And so he wants us to go after it, you know, to repent and to turn away from it and to be generous to each other. You know, not just generous with our money, but generous with our emotions, you know. Generous with our forgiveness. Generous with our kindness to one another. So thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lead us, God. Help us to be kind and forgiving and tender-hearted to one another. Let's rise together. Let's sing this song, and then I'll pray over us. Thank you, God. We come before you in repentance, in humility, God. We pray for your forgiveness over our gossip. I pray, God, that we will that we would really just be transformed by your mercy, by the gospel, by your grace, God, so that we can be humble, God, in our relationships with other people. We can be humble and gentle and forgiving in our relationships with other people, in our dealings with our brothers and sisters in the church, God. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, God. I pray that we would be a blessing in your eyes, God. I pray Psalm 141, verse 3 over us, that you would set a guard, O Lord, over our mouths and keep watch over the door of our lips. God, I pray that through this repentance and through this decision to not gossip, I pray that it will lead our church into unity, God. Unity and an atmosphere of a culture of honor and a culture of just edifying one another, encouraging one another. So forgive us and lead us, God. Thank you. Thank you for your grace. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great rest of the day, and we'll see you next week or at EMP.